when John's saying, hey, if you say you don't have sin, you're a liar. We all have sin. But do you confess your sin? Do you turn from it? So if somebody's saying something is okay that's not okay, that's a problem. And I think that's an indicator of a false teacher that John's trying to highlight.
Welcome to the Beyond the Message podcast, a podcast designed to dive deeper into Sunday sermons. Join us as we discuss and unpack yesterday's message and go beyond with additional insight into and application of God's Word.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam. I'm joined here this morning by Ian and Jake, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Happy rainy day to you. I think
I'm here for it.
You guys are, you guys beat the rain in a little bit before me. Thankful for springtime and lots of outside activities. However, I have some severe allergy stuff going on today.
Is it a cold or you legit got like allergies?
I think it's a combination allergy and cold.
Yeah. Do so you know
killer what combo
you're allergic
a
to?
Grass mostly.
So they're, that's no, not good for you.
No, I mean, I think it is just seasonal stuff. It's yeah. Like anytime we get to this point of the year, it's a little bit more like, yay. But that was fun teaching two classes yesterday and struggled my way through it. But
yeah, you told me you're what class are you teaching?
Biblical literacy.
Yeah, and there was
we had about 100 people.
That's awesome
between the two classes.
That's so sweet.
Super, super exciting. That was a lot of fun. I hope they come back. Hope it was worthwhile. No, but it was great. It's what I love about those classes too is I always like to spend some time before going around, and there's always like people I've never met before that are coming into the class. And it might be like, hey, we've been here 3 months, just taking a class. And it's cool to be able to have a smaller context.
That's been one of the big wins of doing classes, not just advancing, you know, biblical instruction to people, but helping a big church feel small, giving another context for people to connect. I've heard a lot of those stories.
And that was even part of the purpose of adding more classes so that we could have more context for people to get to know each other, be in the middle of doing something together like that. So that's sweet.
Very cool. All right. Anyways, enough about me and my allergies and classes. No, Jake, yesterday we continued on, went through again, 1 John 4, 1 through 6, focusing more on those last couple of verses. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of part two of that message. So we walked through last week was just that first test was the Jesus test.
Yeah.
And this week we looked at the worldly test, the life test, and the Bible test. And so just as you thought through, I mean, you had 2 weeks to preach on these verses. And last week you said, like, I kind of said all I wanted to say. Was there anything more that you would have expanded on or want to include from your message yesterday?
Yeah, we did we looked at one test and then we looked at three tests. So, I mean, if we could have made this a 4 week, you know, to spend a week on each test to go a little bit deeper into those would have been good. But I think we got an overview of those.
Ian, anything stick out to you yesterday morning?
Well, so I missed the Jesus test from 2 weeks ago because I was preaching in Urbana. And so I'm going to go back and listen to that one. But I think that life test, I think you spent a good portion on the front end talking about the life test. And it did get me thinking a little bit. I'm going to steal Sam's job for a minute and ask a question. But what are some questions you would add, like put on a life test for our people? If our people are going to look at a life test, maybe it's to discern false teaching and false teachers, kind of like what this is about, or even in their own life, like how would you apply the life test to them practically?
I think the life test one in there was the least clear, so to spend some time on that. Whereas you get to verse 5 with the worldly test, it's pretty clear. Verse 6 with the Bible test is pretty clear. But 4 sounds like it's just kind of this encouragement.
Mm-hmm. You've overcome.
Yeah, you've overcome them. He who is in you is greater than in the world. Like, how's that a test? So really helping to see, like, what has he been saying leading up to this in making this contrast between you and them and how you've overcome them, going back to everything he's been saying of, hey, it's evident who's a child of God and who's a child of the devil. Well, how's it evident? Well, do you practice righteousness? Do you keep practicing sin? You know, so saying, hey, the contrast that he's making, it should be evident in our lives lived out. So do you see victory lived out? Do you see regeneration. You see the fruit of the Spirit, that you're a new creation in Christ. So I think to look into people's lives. So that's why I spent more time to say, like, it is a test.
You just had to spend a little more time fleshing it out.
Yeah. Why it was. But you're saying what questions?
Yeah, what questions would you put on a life test for people to consider?
I think in a, like a relational context,
yeah.
Or I'm looking from a distance. Because I think when you're assessing teachers, you're just like,
maybe let's start with the teachers. Let's start.
Yeah.
Our people are out. They're listening to stuff. They're intaking things all the time. What does applying the life test to teachings they might be hearing?
There is a caution because it's like from a distance, you don't get a good view. So I would be gracious and stuff. But sometimes when you see like, hey, how are you? Are you, does it seem like you love money? Yeah. Does it seem like you embrace worldly values?
Are you chasing status?
Yeah. Is there an engagement in sensuality? You look on somebody's social media feed, it's like, oh, this doesn't seem very God honoring. I think like we should look into those things, on a relationship level. I do think, to ask or to look for the fruit of the Spirit to see how people respond, to sin in their life. Is it like, I hate this. I want to turn from it. Or is it more of a downplaying of it? You just look for godliness. I mean, when Christ says you can tell a tree by its fruit, he's like, do I see the fruit of the Spirit? Are you, and how you conduct yourself.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
I don't think the concern is like, oh, you sinned. You must be.
You don't pass.
Like when John's saying, hey, if you say you don't have sin, you're a liar. We all have sin. Like, thank God we have an advocate, but do you confess your sin? Do you turn from it? Are you, or when he uses practice and keeps on, it talks about this embrace lifestyle where you just, no, this is okay. And it's like, no, it's not okay. So if somebody's saying something is okay, that's not okay, that's a problem. And I think that's an indicator of a false teacher that John's trying to highlight.
Yeah.
So you talked yesterday kind of at the beginning, said we'd spend a little bit of time in the podcast to talk about how to use these tests. And then at the end, because you did bring up it as, yeah, let's assess the message. Let's assess who are the teachers. But then also there's a personal practical application. So maybe can you speak to how we should be using these tests on both of those levels? You already did a little bit with the, the life test there.
Because I think – when John's talking about, hey, many false prophets have gone out into the world, you're looking at teachers. So when John's giving us these tests, I think it's like, hey, be cautious who's leading you.
Yeah.
Not necessarily who you're relating to. However, a lot of people, I think, listen to this and it's not like necessarily applied to a teacher, but it's a friend or a family member. Mm-hmm. I got a friend or a family member and they profess to be a Christian, but I see this in them or I'm concerned. How do I handle that? But also we're highly influenced by our friends and family. So I do think these things apply to like, what is your friend or family member think of Jesus? Yeah. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit in their life? Do they seem to be embracing worldliness or will they push back against it? Do they submit to the scriptures? Do they align with the scriptures or still good things? But I would start with like ask questions.
Yeah.
Don't just make assumptions. You're in a relationship with a friend or family member. So, hey, what do you think of this? Or what do you think of this? Like use some of these categories to ask questions to seek clarity. That's where I would start. Go to the Bible. But also, we have the gift of community to try to make these assessments with other trusted brothers and sisters in Christ, not isolated on your own to try to figure that out.
Yeah. Do you think there's something that, you know, you said that we're influenced by our friends and family members and this is more about judging teachings, but don't you think there's also something to be said where we can see the assumption of false beliefs or false teachings in some of those relationships with others? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's like, yes, we're both influenced by them, but also we can see how they're being influenced by a false message. And there's a responsibility there to lovingly rebuke that, call that out, and try to help bring that to light.
Yeah. And some of that's just discernment too. Like as you grow in your own maturity, you grow in your ability to see, okay, this person is being influenced by the wrong thing. So maybe I'm not going to put as much stock into what they're saying. And so some of that's also growth in your own maturity and discernment there.
Yeah, that's good. Jake, which of the four tests, so Jesus, life, world, Bible, do you think is most neglected right now?
I mean, I would guess different people have leaned into ones more than others. It might different on an individual. I think the biblical illiteracy challenge in our country right now is it's hard for people to align with the apostles when they're not sure what the apostles are saying, and maybe more easily embrace a twisting of truth because there's enough in there. It's like, oh, that sounds right.
Sure.
What's that game, that youth group game where it's like, I've seen them. Is this a Bible verse or a Taylor Swift lyric?
Yeah. Lamentations or Taylor Swift or something like that.
And it's like, I don't know. I mean, it's like, so I think the Bible test in which impacts the other. If I don't know what the Bible teaches, well, then I might buy worldliness and I might by distortions of the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I would say probably the Bible test is the most urgent because it impacts the others more.
Yeah, that's good. Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to say similar boat there as far as like the Bible test is the one that kind of all the other tests are based off. You know, worldliness, and if they're giving out themselves, like if they're submitting their life to the Bible based on knowing scripture. So I'd say it starts there. I think the life test can be an interesting one, especially when it comes to like, who are you choosing to listen to? Because we are drawn to status. We are drawn to places of authority. And so I think it can be easy to think this person looks well put together, so I'm going to listen to them. Or this person looks like someone that I should submit myself to. And so I think that could be one where it's like, you're not actually looking at their life. You're just looking at their appearance. And so I think that could be another one that, especially with YouTube and all these sermons that are online, you can easily put yourself under people who sound good, look good. And
you're not really after.
Good. Yeah. You're not after their character. And that's why I think
you're after them.
Yeah.
What they're representing. And you see this where people want status before like going through life. It's like an example is, hey, I'm online giving parenting advice, and it's like, you have a 2-year-old. Like you're a new parent for the first time. Now you want to give counsel to everybody. It's like, why don't you raise kids? Like, let's see how it goes before you just put yourself in a teaching role for other parents. So there's that aspect of influence, but I'd say beneath that, it's like, well, does this person show that they have the Spirit in them? Yeah. Do they have the fruit of the Spirit, the love of God, a pursuit of righteousness that gives a credibility? So I think those are two different things, because you could be a genuine Christian and it's like, hey, you're a new parent. Maybe you shouldn't be teaching parenting. Like, let's have some life first. But there's also another category of like, do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you a new creation in Christ?
Yeah.
That you would have the help of God's wisdom coming through you to the counsel of others.
Yeah. I think it's also interesting that this is in the context of like the churches. And so there's a assumed level of proximity that they have to the people who are teaching, where they can like put these people, these false teachers, through a life test and a worldliness test and a Bible test. And that's just hard to do when you don't know people and you're just listening to teaching from who knows where.
Sure.
And so I think that is also a call to be like, have your church be your primary influence when it comes to who are you listening to? Who are you submitting to? Where are you getting your like teaching from? Where's your primary source of teaching? Should hopefully be your local church on a Sunday morning throughout the week. And
yeah,
because
we've had situations where, I mean, when you're at a distance, it's like, oh, this guy wrote a book. That's great. I like the book. And then other people is like, do you know him? Like, do you know that this is their behavior? It's like, no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Because there's distance and you don't know people. But in a local context, it's not just, did Ian get up and say good, true things from the stage? It's like, I interacted with him after the stage and he's a jerk. Or so, like, you know, those things can be discerned in a local context where when it's like, I just know this guy's book. I just listened to their podcast. I don't see how they parent or how he treats his wife or how he conducts himself in the community. So in a local context, you're right. You get that. That gets fleshed out more.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's good. Great. Appreciate it. No listener questions today. As always, if you've got something that anybody says on Sunday morning, or just you're kicking something around as you're reading through the text, or have a theological question, we want to be able to address those. So you can submit that either in the form that's linked at on the website, veritaschurch.info, or you can click through on the podcast description. So I was wrapping up. You're something?
No, so this wasn't a main point of
Sam's.
He was like, "Hey, I'm trying to get going.
I'm done.
I need to take some meds." This wasn't like part of the tests or anything, I don't think, but you had made a comment about the Christian message being packaged for American consumerism. Uh-huh. I was just curious, like, how would you help our people discern and fight against consumerism in the church? Like, that was, it was kind of an off comment, but I think it's important to talk about since people see church more often, it seems like, as a place to go, something to participate in, but not a people to belong to. And how would you help people fight against consumerism?
Well, when you this kind of blurring of like the American dream and American ideals with Christianity and this kind of muddying of things where it's like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that pursuit of happiness is kind of it. Like, everybody has the right to pursue their dreams, and it's often seen as prosperity. Like, okay, go make something of yourself. Work hard, improve your lifestyle, and that's a – I think it's an honorable pursuit. But when Christianity is seen as a means to accomplish that and not – the actual end goal, then God is just here to help us be prosperous. And God can be used as, hey, he will help you, you know, become more prosperous. So the goal is not God, the goal is prosperity. And it's put this Christian twist on it. So it's seen as, do you want the American dream? Go through God, rather than do you want God? Because in that version of Christianity, there's no room for suffering. There's no room for sacrifice and mission and dying to yourself. It's just, God, help me accomplish my dreams. Make me successful. Give me prosperity. So I think that's positions us as a consumer after a product or a lifestyle, and God is just the currency to get that, rather than God is the prize and he's my pursuit. And there's hardships that go through in life that actually draw me closer to God. So we don't have a great theology of suffering as consumers, and we don't see God as the ultimate prize as consumers. We see prosperity as the prize. In our society, we live in a prosperous country, and it can easily be prosperity is the God we worship.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I kind of get this idea where it's like, we go to church for us and not for else too, to where it's like, we're doing it because it makes us feel good. Yeah. It makes us feel better about ourselves. And I think that's even seen in the way people attend church.
Yeah. These I think days. It's so affected the way we think. We don't even realize it. We're not coming to a church first looking for confessional alignment. Mm-hmm. Do you believe the things of scripture? Do our beliefs line up? It's like, do I like the music? Do I like the preaching? Do I like the ministries and, you know, the atmosphere? Okay, check. This is my church. Because I like how it makes me feel.
Yep.
And I like what it offers me. And I like the community I find there. But as soon as, like, they don't stop meeting some of my likes and desires, I'll try to find another church.
And even then, I'll do it when it fits in my schedule, not fit my schedule around church. Jordan Howell up from Urbana, he posted an article, I think this week, where he said 40 years ago, faithful church attendance was 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. Now it's maybe 2 to 3 times a month.
Yeah.
If you're lucky. And like, I think that shows like the consumeristic nature of it, where it's like, you go from faithful church attendance and membership to being 3 times a week to now it's like, maybe you're getting 1 to 2 times a month.
And we have so much more competing for our time.
Yeah.
There's so many, part of a prosperous society is you have more options. You have more leisure options. So you have things more competing for our time. But yeah, we've definitely fallen into, consumeristic mindsets when it comes to church. Church exists to serve me, to meet my needs, mm-hmm. not the other way. I exist to serve God and advance his cause. And it's really flipped. Yeah. And I think that is an underlying problem to so many problems. You go into marriage. Marriage is like, this marriage exists to make me happy and to meet my needs. And as soon as it doesn't, something's wrong with this marriage. Rather than, no, marriage is a picture of the gospel. Mm-hmm. This is more about my holiness than my happiness. Mm-hmm. And it exists to glorify God and give a picture to the world of a covenant relationship. Like, everything gets flipped with consumeristic mindset. Yeah.
And I am thankful. I think even talking, it's the nuance here is like, that's a broad spectrum of like a downfall that we see broadly in the Christian church. And we would be foolish to not think that there aren't people here in thinking that same way. But we also do have a lot of people who are doing it right and super thankful just for the way that we see people continuously like laying their lives on the line and saying like, God, like whatever you're calling me to, like, let's do it. Whatever serving looks like, whatever, you know, participating in this body looks like. And super thankful that we have people that have caught that vision.
Yeah, for sure.
Love that we get to continue to like spur that on in others within our church.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that you guys were bad mouthed.
No, that's great. We got wonderful people that get that. Yeah. I think it's just a strong cultural current.
Yeah. When it's the water we swim in, we need to be even.
And we don't talk about it a ton. So,
Yeah.
That's helpful. That's good.
That was all.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Do you want to wrap it up?
No, I'm done.
You don't have any more questions? Great. So second week in a row, a little abnormal. We don't really have like a main point, right?
Is that a question,
Jake? What's your main point?
You said a lot of good things. What's the one like? Hey, we've got to hang on to this from this message.
Yeah, lies are a threat. Be discerning.
Good. That's sweet. Lies are a threat. Be discerning. Well, Ian, thanks for being here.
Yeah,
appreciate it, Jake. Church, thanks for joining us. Join us again next week for another episode. Beyond the Message.